Hello, hello, hello. How are y'all doing? Good, welcome. Hello, hello, how are y'all?
I'm trying to get here early.
Thank y'all for coming. Hey, how are you doing? Good. Yes, ma'am. It is, but I'd love to have you. Come on. It's going to be great. Also, if you are claustrophobic and it's too many people, I'm recording the audio and I'll pair it with the slide deck and I will post that. So if you're also a copious note taker, I would prefer engagement, and then just you'll have the audio for free. It's there. So I'm really excited about this event. And what I've told people is I don't really have any profundities to offer to you today. This is not like this really profound event. Super simple, really easy to do. May cost a little bit of money depending on what resources your school has and doesn't have. But we call it a reverse career fair. So I do want to be really transparent and say that this is kind of the birth of a brainstorming session. Susan Fuller and I are pretty close. She's in a county one above me. We're not a neighboring. We're more contiguous, if that makes sense. But she's from Crisp County. She's sick, couldn't be here today. She was going to be here to share some anecdotes. But we were talking about solving a problem, and the problem we were talking about solving, I'm gonna go ahead and skip through bios. This will be in the slide deck. We're not gonna keep all that up. Real quick, if anyone's interested, I'm real active on LinkedIn. I would love to connect with you on LinkedIn. I do post all of my stuff there as well, so I would welcome that if you want to do that. And then also, this is the podcast where this will be posted for you if you want to. Download that. That's basically a professional development platform that a buddy from mine at Utah, it's just crowdsourced professional development for work-based learning. So we've got a bunch of sessions on there right now. Anyway, that's where I'll be posted. So let's go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes. I really want to thank Susan because we were having this brainstorming session, and the pain point was this. We do a really good job in our classrooms. Your teachers, if you're in work-based learning, if you're a classroom teacher, we do a really good job of giving students content, skills. That's what we do. Welding teachers teach students how to weld. Healthcare teachers teach students how to be great in healthcare. But what we don't do, and it really even lies outside of standard one, what we don't do is teach students how to sell their skill set. We don't do a good job of that. So you may have the most profoundly gifted welder in your welding program, and then they crap the bed in the job interview because they can't communicate their skills. And so that was kind of the need that we saw that was created from this. And so we're brainstorming this, and she goes, hey Jason, I did this event once a couple years ago. It was kind of well received. Maybe you could do something with it. And she started telling about this reverse career fair. So pain points are one, there's a pretty significant discrepancy in what our students can do and how they can communicate what they can do. Two is, how do I create an event that both forces the students to engage with these employers in what I call a safe environment, but allows them to fail in a safe environment? Because that's really what learning is failing and getting better. You know, that's kind of how I view learning. So how can I do that in a safe environment? I want a student to fail in a controlled, simulated environment before they fail in their real dream job interview. That's kind of how work-based learning students are going to get better, is to fail in a safe environment. And so we kind of brainstormed this product and launched it. Didn't really know how it was going to be received, and I'm kind of shocked at how much attention it's gotten. Now again, I do like to market and brand my program, but I didn't think it would be as well received, and I do have some data points at the end of the presentation. All the pictures you see here are going to be from the actual event. So here's the primary goal of this event. It's equipping students to self-advocate in preparation for job interviews, in preparation for networking events, in preparation for professional communication. How can they self-advocate? Now, this is a particularly interesting model if you look at special education, because one of the biggest issues we find in work-based learning is special education. We cannot disclose a student's IEPs, 504s, accommodations, so we're really putting a student in a very precarious situation. We're forcing them to choose, do I self-disclose my accommodations and risk not getting the job because IEPs and 504s are not binding in the private sector? So do I self-disclose and risk not getting my job, or do I disclose and get the job but risk not getting my accommodations and I'm not going to do well? It's a pretty tough position. So even a great model for special education. Now, this was leveraged in a work-based learning model. But this could be done, and if you're a healthcare teacher, your alphas, you get your alphas to come in from healthcare, and you have your healthcare students do this. If you're welding, construction, this could be leveraged in absolutely any environment. It was done in work-based learning, but it doesn't have to be done in work-based learning. So here's the build-up, and I'll get to how it works, but I kind of want to kind of build up to that. So this is for my third semester students. So I have a different set of class assignments and curriculum for each semester. This is for my third semester students. And here, each assignment that I give them is designed to do one of two things, to teach them a skill or to create an artifact that's going to be used or leveraged in this event. The whole semester. Now, is it a pretty easy semester compared to my first and second? Yes, it is. You can build this out. You can adjust this however you want to adjust it. But what we do is, the first thing they have to do is, I'm real big into use science. They have to have that use science analysis. That's their midterm as intro students. So they have that data, but they have to meet with me and we go over their use science analysis. We look at their strengths, their weaknesses, what they want to do, and how do those things match up, okay? Two is, they have an assignment called greetings, intros, and handshakes. And so 1 month, I literally hide from my kids and they have to find me, and they have to come up and they have to shake my hand, look me in the eye. Eye contact, posture, good handshaking, and they have to do some outside research on me. They have to ask me two questions, have a two-minute conversation with me, and it cannot be anything about school. So it's like, hey, Mr. V, I noticed you were a missionary in Africa. Mr. V, I noticed you played college baseball. Mr. V, I noticed that you were a pastor for 20 years. Doesn't matter what it is, personal conversations. And I'm teaching them what hopefully all of us should be doing. And if you have a job interview, you should be researching the people who you are going to potentially be at that table. Know their vision, their mission, know who they are, know what they do, so you can call them by name. When I got this job, my goal 7 years ago when I interviewed, I memorized every single administrator's face and bio. So when I walked in the room and they walked up, I didn't know who was going to be in the interview panel. When they walked in the room and went to shake my hand, one of the gentlemen who's now retired, his name was Mr. Bruce Kirk. We'd never met, and he walked up and I said, hey, Mr. Kirk, nice to meet you. And you can just see the look on it, like it wasn't like crazy shock, but he was just like, oh, he knows my name. Is that enough to get you a job? No, but is enough to differentiate you from someone who you're tied with? 100%. So teaching the kids how to go in and research and do some recognizance on their audience. Two, dressing for success. Really simple event where I teach them you probably do this at an earlier level in work-based learning, and I do as well, but what this assignment was to do was, after they learned the greeting, intros, and handshakes, they know how to go up and make a conversation with people. Then I give them the assignment where they have to go up to, and I don't say strangers, because you know stranger danger in schools, I don't want to be in trouble for that, but I do tell them, I need you to go take a picture with somebody who is dressed casually, professionally, business casual, business professional, and smart casual, or uniform. They have to take a picture, a selfie with them. They have to say, this is smart casual, and then they submit that to Google Classroom. So they're going to submit five pictures to me. Real simple. The kids, but I remember I'm scaffolding it. Remember, I taught you how to introduce yourself, to greet, have a handshake, have a conversation, and now I'm scaffolding that and saying, now you're going to leverage that to go and talk to people. Some of my students go overboard and they go meet strangers, and I'm like, great, just be safe. Some of them will stage it with their parents. Not as fun, but they still are getting the concept, right? Next is going to be, I teach them how to develop a personal brand. And that's a big, big thing for me, is what is your personal brand? It's what people think of you when you're not selling yourself, or they think when you're not in the room. Next, they had to go in and create a business card that was going to be leveraged at their booth. They had to create a resume. Now, ask me why I have my resumes created in third year, because I don't want to grade 190 resumes. I want to grade 25 resumes. Another reason is, and you say, well, I don't agree with that, Jason, and we can disagree on that, but my employers are telling me we really don't give a crap about resumes. We really don't. Because most students don't know how to write a resume, and all the resumes say the same thing. They don't have any skills, they don't have any experience, or they do have some skills, they don't have any experience, and so they're basically promoting their education, their classes, and some of the certificates they've got, but it's really hard to differentiate between someone, two or three kids in construction looking for a job. They said, I would rather have the interview skills. The resume is actually more of a tedious, a laborious thing for my employers. At least that's what I was shocked a little bit too, but I'm awesome. I was awesome, like, yeah, let's move past. And we actually leverage LinkedIn as their resume. And here's why I like to leverage LinkedIn as their resume. Think of resume as a black and white, like just a black and white list. LinkedIn is the color commentary to that. So if you've ever watched sports, you've got the person who went to school and studied broadcast, and then you've got the athlete who's actually telling you what's actually happening. Did you see that guard pull and knock this out? No, he didn't, because he is a broadcast person. He doesn't know anything about football. He knows how to broadcast. The color commentary is giving the details, the data, what's actually happening. LinkedIn is where you can put artifacts, resumes, you can put pictures, post skills, and we actually leverage, they have to get an endorsement. So LinkedIn, I would really appreciate this as a side note. We'll call it homework. If you want to know how endorsements work, connect with me on LinkedIn and endorse me on this presentation if you like it. If you don't, give me a bad endorsement, which is valid. But you can, and here's the thing about this. I am actually starting to leverage LinkedIn endorsements as evaluation. Now, does it fit in CNET? It doesn't fit in CNET. But here's my question. You have a student in your WordPress learning program or in your instructional program, and that student gets a glowing recommendation from their employer. What do you do with it? Goes in the file cabinet, right? If I can have that endorsement and then ask the employer, will you, or I get that evaluation and then I have the employer endorse them on LinkedIn, that stays with them in perpetuity for the rest of their life. So it's the color commentary to the traditional antiquated practices that we usually have. They have to get letters of recommendation in addition to their LinkedIn endorsements. And now these last two are pretty silly, but you'd be surprised. Well, maybe not silly, because you may have the same issue. My students walk around with this powerful computer in their pocket, and they're like, oh, Mr. Vett, I don't know what our meeting was today. I'm like, you have a freaking supercomputer in your pocket. Just literally press the button and say, Siri, remind me I have a meeting on Wednesday. And it'll remind you. It's super simple, but they don't use it for that. So I teach them how to, so they have to schedule a meeting with me for their use science analysis. And it goes on my calendar, and it goes on their calendar. And then another thing they don't know how to do, they don't know how to send an email with an attachment. Blows my mind. So when they do their business cards and their letters of recommendation and their resumes, not only do they post them in Google Classroom, but they send it to me as an email with an attachment. I want to make sure they know how to do that. Blew my mind. So those are all the assignments. It's a pretty light workload for the semester. You can add to or take away from that, but the real event is actually building their booth. So how do I assess it? This is evolving. I've only done it for two semesters. But their final basically is the event, their career fair. You show up, you do the reverse career fair. Then you see these little pictures, videos. I make them do a minute to 2 minute video, which is advice for the next students coming through this program. So that's part of their assessment is, after the event, you give me a minute to 2 minute video answering the following questions. What would you have done different? What kind of questions did the alphas ask you? What did you do well? What did you not do well? Giving them advice for the next group to come through the reverse career fair. And then I have them give me a survey of the event afterwards. So I want some data. I don't want this just to be anecdotal and me tell you that it really went well. I want to see what the students actually said. Their midterms are professional headshots. I'll get to that in just a second. They also had to schedule their U Science meeting with me. That's a midterm. That's how important it is to me. Use your dadgum calendars in your phone. I don't care if you're iPhone or Android. I don't care. Use your calendars. Know how to use it. And then everything else I just showed you in the previous slide was considered a daily assignment, okay? So partnerships, and this is where I want to talk about how this happened. So I've been to a lot of sessions. It seems to be a pretty prevailing theme here is, how do you leverage partnerships for WordPress learning success? How do you leverage partnerships for CTE success? How do you leverage partnerships? That's a common theme. So I would not have been able to do this without partnerships. And so you can see here, some of the alphas presented here are, you've got, let me get it. So you've got John LaHood. He's one of our my region's House representatives. You've got Jason Shaw. He's a public service commissioner. You've got a student. You've got former Wiregrass. She's not treasurer. What was Chrissy's position? She raised money for Wiregrass. I forget her official position. She raised money for Wiregrass, so she knows a ton of people. And then you have our dual enrollment coordinator at Wiregrass. So you got one student. Look at the alphas he's sitting with and having a conversation with. Two elected officials, someone who has tons of contacts, whose job was to raise money, now works for Ace Electric, and the dual enrollment coordinator. He's the only student at that table. I told him, you chose wisely, my man, because he played the alpha bingo game well. We'll get to that in a second as well. But here are the partnerships. First, we start off, the only cost this event, I got the, so Rainwater Conference Center donated the space to me. Okay, they donated the space. So that was their partner. And then I have a catered meal where I'm teaching students how to, you know, sell casually, okay? And I had CJB, I asked them if they would sponsor that, and they said, sure. And then as soon as this event was over, the first one that I did in the fall was over, as soon as it was over, they reached out to me and said, can we sponsor it again? I was like, I don't know, let me think about it. Sure, I will take your money. Yes, it will be yours in perpetuity until you tell me you don't want to sponsor it. So it has become the CJB event.
Hey, that room on the other side of the wall, did y'all really loud?
I am loud. Do I need to be quiet?
Well, you tone it down a notch.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I've never been told to be quiet. Okay. Okay. So when these are my sponsors, these are the sponsors who made the event possible. Okay. Now, what I also want to do is I'll walk you through a pretty unique development that happened because of LinkedIn. I posted this event on LinkedIn in the fall, and I got an inquiry from someone in a neighboring county. And she said, hey, look, I'm a photographer. I would love to donate a headshot package to all your students. I said, okay, yeah, let's do that. That's pretty cool. Each sitting fee was about $700. She donated 21 of those. Okay? So L.S. Smith, so if you're down in South Georgia and you're looking for someone to take headshots, she does good work. I'll show you an example in a second. So this is another partnership. Was it built only because I promoted the event on LinkedIn. She's like, I would love to be a part of this. I said, I would love to take some more money. Let's do it. But these are the headshots that she did for the kids. Oh, sorry, I'll go back. So each student got three pictures. The top picture is the banner that goes on their LinkedIn banner. Okay, then they got a full page, a 8x11 full page size. They got a square photo. So you see the LinkedIn banner is up here. This is the square photo. This is the full page photo. And then each one of them got one with the background ripped out. Okay, so they all got three photos to leverage and use for the career fair, also on LinkedIn moving forward. So this was part of their midterm. This is the creating your own brand, the headshot package. Okay? Now, and maybe you're a photographer. Maybe you can do the kids for, I can't take pictures. I can do the graphics and stuff, but I can't take the pictures. Maybe you have that skill set. If you can't find a photographer, maybe you take the pictures. Maybe you have a photography pathway at your class. Maybe you have an AV pathway at your class who can do this. I don't know. There's a lot of cool ways you can partner with this, okay? But not only that, but she said, Jason, I'm really interested in helping you teach them about creating a personal brand. And so we went in and I said, well, that's great. I'll take all the help I can get. I said, can you send me a video? And so she sent me a video. I upload that video into a free software called Edpuzzle, I believe, where you can like stop the video and ask questions along the way. And so for the sake of time, I'm not going to show you this video. You know, I am. I lied. I got to show it. I want to show it a minute, and I'm hoping the audio comes through. We'll see. It does not. So now I'm not going to play it because the audio's not going to come through. She goes through and she tells them, she basically takes it. She goes, I'm a professional photographer. I was taking a headshot for this lady. And she goes, this was her headshot. And it's like from the bottom up, she's got in a nose ring. She's wearing a T-shirt. But that was her picture. But then the side of her, her skills were, I want to be your personal digital assistant. I want to do the things for you that you want to do for yourself. And she's like, do these two things match? Like, does the picture, do you want this picture doing these things for you? And it was really creative, and the answer basically was no. And she said, here's what we did after. And then she transitioned and said, here's what she looks like now. Here's the pictures that she's marketing herself with. She said, her business has grown because her image now matches her product. And so the value of creating that personal brand. So sorry that the audio didn't work. I thought the HDMI would pull the audio through. Oh, let me get back in here. I'm on that screen. All right, so here's my target audience. Third semester students who are on the precipice of graduating, they're close to graduating, they need these skills imminently, and also it's a smaller group. Now the catered lunch portion was about $38 a plate, so that's what CJB covered. If money's an issue for you, you don't have to do that, or maybe you can partner with your culinary program to do that. I wanted to get my students off campus. Anytime I can get my students off campus to an event, they take it more seriously. If I had gone up into a collab space, it would have been announced on the school event. We'll take it very seriously. Getting them off campus in a conference room was pretty unique. Okay, so target audience for them was the third level WordPress learning students, also the industry alphas. I call them alphas. Basically, you call them whatever you want to, people who move the needle in your community. I didn't, and I don't say this, we're all teachers, so I don't say this begrudgingly, I didn't want this to be an event where they presented to teachers. They wouldn't take it seriously. They know you. I want them to present to the mayor, the county commissioner, senators, House of Representative people, local business owners, Georgia Power. I had Alabama Department of Education come. I had South Carolina's Department of Education come to this event. I wanted them to talk to alphas in the industry and make sure they knew this is the real deal. I wanted them to be nervous because these are actual real business influencers. So for the industry alphas, it was more of a showcase event. I wanted them to see what my students were doing. Justin, how are you, man? I wanted you to see how what the alphas or what the program can do. But also, this is a great way for me to recruit new alphas because guess what these alphas did? They went back and told their friends, and after the first event, I got multiple cold call inquiries saying, hey, why didn't you include me in this? And I was like, well, I'm starting small. We're going to grow a little bit, but just start small. Wanted to develop proof of concept. Now, uniquely, I will say I did require the students to have a visual. So you can see up here, some students would have the visual with a trifold. Not my favorite way to it's kind of common, okay? I encouraged him, try something a little bit different. So this young man, he built a daggum wall with a three-circuit switch, a light, an AC switch, and he plugged it into the wall, and it worked. So I want to pause here for a second and just acknowledge a few of the alphas who came. My boss, Dr. Williams, was an alpha, a judge. Lynn Mama Lead Wilson was one of our alphas and judge, and Mr. Ruiz from Valdosta City Schools was an alpha and a judge. And so if you have any questions and if you want further evidence that it was a good event, talk to them, okay? Don't have to take my word for it. So that was the target audience. So here's the three-part design. Really simple. And you don't have to do all three parts. The first part is the actual reverse career fair and presentation. So what's the problem with the traditional career fair model? What's the problem? You are hoping that the students are going to engage with the employers. You walk into a room like this, and you've got employers who've brought in booths and banners and swag, and they're trying their best to get kids to come, and the kids are just there because they want to get out of class. And they congregate in the middle of the room, and they don't engage, and so then what's the fruit of that transaction? Your students don't want to do it because it wasn't fun, and your employers don't want to come back because it wasted their day. So how can you force engagement? How can you force them to be engaged? You flip the roles. The students spend their entire semester for me doing those assignments, building their booth, learning to sell their skills, learning to advocate, and then they come in and their booth is along the wall, and now I release the alphas into the room and they go and engage with the students. It's the students' grade to be engaged, and the alphas are going to go and evaluate the students. It's so simple. And it's such a profound paradigm shift from what we traditionally do, but it's super effective. Super effective. So that's the flaw with the traditional career fair. So you flip the roles. Students have the booths. The industry, again, I call them alphas. They go and visit the students. They ask the questions. They evaluate the students. Okay? Now, here's just a real quick example. And again, the slide deck. So I started off first semester with a paper evaluation. Here, the little rubric that they have. Okay? I quickly moved the second time to a digital evaluation. So if you want to scan that QR code now or later, it's up to you. I don't have a preference. It'll take you to a template of that evaluation. It's a Google form. So what I did was at the end of their booth, each student had their own QR code. And so you as the alpha go talk to the student, and on your way out of their booth, you scan their QR code. And as you're walking to the next booth, you just press the microphone on your button and say, the student did great doing this, needs to work on this. And there was four or five yes or no questions. Okay? And this is what the data looked like on the backside. This sheet right here, this is how many alphas evaluated her, and they evaluated her on booth setup and creativity, engagement and communication, portfolio demonstration and visual, professionalism and dress, likelihood of hiring. Did the student mention their U-Science results? Did the student drive you to their LinkedIn profile? And did the student reference materials did they reference the materials at their booth? Did they have reference like their business cards, resumes? Did they bring those? And then place for general comments. Took the alphas about 30 to 45 seconds to complete that evaluation. Yes, ma'am?
Did you have a different QR code for each?
100%. I had a different QR code for each student. So that took me about 30 minutes to set up. If you're not good with technology, it may take a little bit longer. But the reason I had that was because as soon as I created this event, or that form, I shared the spreadsheet with the student. So the student, I don't have to worry about, the first time I had to go in and scan all those forms, and I had like booth one, booth two, booth three, and I had to like take all the forms and separate them out, and I was worried I was gonna give someone the wrong form. This solves that problem. But more importantly, it gave me a better equity and access. One of my good friends is our chamber president, and she has a physical disability, and she's like, Jason, it was really hard for me to walk around with my cane and write these things down. And the other alphas in the feedback said, we want to meet more students, but the evaluation process was a little difficult. How can we fix that? So I fixed it. And that's how I'll be doing it moving forward. Phenomenal. And then that is Ella, that is the student who got those marks. I averaged everything down at the bottom. So you can see her average score on each one of those things. Now she knows where she stands. She can read the personal feedback. And here's really important. I have elected officials at this event. It's very important if you do that, make sure you keep the employer or the alpha feedback anonymous. I don't want someone losing a vote because they were mean to my kid, right? So keep the feedback anonymous. So that was the first part. The actual booth presentation was about 2 hours, 2.5 hours of working, networking, moving around, getting involved. The second was the informal event, what I call the catered portion. Now, in real life, let's just say that I'm presenting, and as an aspiring Career Academy CEO, you say, hey, look, I'm open to Career Academy. I want to talk to you. You're going to see my skills in the formal presentation. Checks are cut at the bar, at the restaurant, or on the golf course, right? I can't teach my kids about the bar yet, right? They know more than I know, probably, but that's where decisions are made. You meet people in the formal setting. You sign contracts over the informal. So this is the best way I can think to teach students how to have that skill set, is to sit down at a table over a meal and continue selling your skills in an informal way. This is the skill that a lot of adults struggle with. And the theme was, you're always selling. Whether you mean to or not, you're always selling. Everyone's good at selling when they mean to sell. Are you good at selling when you don't know you're selling? When people are watching, you don't know it. What are you selling? That was the content here. And so you can see, Dexter Sharper, one of my representatives, he is amazing. He was like taking him to school. I think he was telling this kid, you should have done a better job with the alpha bingo, which we're getting into in a second. Okay, so the follow-up, the networking, the casual environment, learning how to sell their skills in the casual, the informal way. Who paid for the event? That was CJB. The whole cost of the event was donated by CJB. I think the first year was about $3,200. But again, if money is the issue, you don't have to do the plated portion. You don't have to do that. You can sequence it however you want to. The next thing was Alpha Bingo. And this was something I was really proud of, that we kind of said, how can we make the students research the alphas? And so every alpha who RSVP'd, I put them on a list, and I gave that list to the students 2 weeks before the event. And I said, you have 2 weeks to find out who these people are, to learn about them, and know them, gave them their names. And then I would give them, I think, three lifelines. They say, I can't figure this person out. Is this person? I'd say, no, it's not the person. This person works for Alabama Department of Education. Okay, great. They would go and they'd find it. Some students didn't do this very well. Some students loved it. The way I engaged them was I got another sponsor, Hunt Industries. He felt bad because he couldn't come to the event. He said, what can I do? And I said, actually, I need $200, $200 bills, because the first person to get Alpha Bingo got a $100 bill, and the first person to get either completely done or the most at the end of the event got another $100 bill. So two people won that, this one. But here's what this was. I forced them to do the research, the recognizance that we all need to do when interviewing for a job, when you're interviewing or presenting or whatever it is, you know your audience, right? It forced them to have these conversations. It forced them to listen, because now I'm listening to you and I know that there are four elected officials here. So if I say, hey, hi, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you, what do you do? Well, I'm an elected official. Now, that massive list went down to five people. So now I'm listening. Okay, are you Dexter Sharp? Are you John LaHood? Are you Jason Shaw? Are you so? I'm teaching them the process that you and I have to go through every day when we're interviewing for jobs or doing whatever. Teaching them how to listen and do the research. No names. The judges did not have names. Their name tag said Judge 1, Judge 2, Judge 3. That was a little difficult to teach them because all these alphas know each other. They're in the same circles, right? So it's like, hey, Bob, I mean Judge 4. Like, but then I said, look, if the students pick up on that, that's the skills I want them to have. I may want to talk to you, but I don't know your name, but I hear you say, hey, okay, now I pretend like we're best friends. Hey, what's up, man? How are we doing? Like, that's a skill my students need to learn to listen and pick up on details they don't normally have. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but you said you gave them the RSVP list
2 weeks prior.
To start the research.
Yes, ma'am.
And then they ask questions.
At the event. Absolutely. And so they played the event, they were prized, and so this is what it looks like. I gave them a bingo card. Here are the rules of engagement. If I come up to Brandy and I say, hey, Brandy, are you Amanda Overstreet? No, I'm not. She would not cross out Brandy Miranda. She would cross out Amanda Overstreet. If the student gets it right, they initial by their name, and now they start their pattern for bingo. Now, here's why I did it that way, because you know our students would never do this. They would never send one of their buddies out to get them all wrong and say, oh, this is this person, and then split the $100 bill, right? They would never do that. But that's why I put it this way, was if they get it wrong, don't cross your name out, because now they know who you are, and they'll tell their buddy, and then they'll split the money. I want them to actually engage in the process, okay? So that was it. And I said, be quiet about it. If someone comes to your booth and you identify them as John LaHood, don't be like, hey, Mr. LaHood, how are you? Because you just gave it away. Everybody else benefited from your work now. You keep it quiet. You give your alpha bingo to him. Let him sign it. And then you move on. So that was the third level of the game. So we've got the formal presentation. We've got the informal meal. And through the whole process, they're running the alpha bingo game. So as much as I could, I was trying to make sure I gave them a scaffolding approach to learning how to sell their skills, learning how to actually transition into the real world and get a job. I don't care, had welders, had construction people, healthcare, teachers, drafters, ag science, ag researchers. I didn't care what their skill set was. I cared they learned how to sell their skill set. Now, if you leverage this as a capstone to a pathway, yeah, it's gonna be a little bit easier because you're gonna all have healthcare people, right? So that your alpha list would probably shrink a little bit. It'd be a little more refined. I didn't have that luxury. So that was kind of the alpha bingo artifacts. Alpha instructions, first year, I sent them an email. That didn't work really well because their alphas didn't have time to read my long, detailed email. So they showed up, and guess what they said? What am I supposed to do? I said, oh, you didn't read my email. Okay, so the next year, I did a schedule of Zooms. And I said, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12:30, 2, and 4:30. Just pop on for 15 minutes. I'll show you what it is. You can see it. Give them the idea. They showed up, and they were ready to go. They could attend any one of those if they wanted to. That was received much better. And then here's the event feedback. We'll go over this quick, and then we'll take questions. My watch is dead, so I have to leave somebody. Y'all tell me if I'm getting close. It's 10:30? Oh, we got some time. Good. I'm rarely ever early. No one has ever accused me of being concise with anything. So let me explain this. The QR code will actually take you to the qualitative data, the written responses, like their sentence responses, if you will. This is I've tried to quantify this. So in asking the students from the fall 23, what would you rate the effectiveness of this? This is the alphas. I apologize, the alpha, not students. Alphas, 76% said extremely effective. 24% said very effective, and there were no other responses. In asking the alphas, how would you evaluate the concept of a reverse career fair? 86% said extremely effective. 14% said very effective. There were no other responses. In asking them for the time frame, 5 said it was too short. That's rare. Alpha people saying, I want to spend more time. Okay, great. I took that. 24 said it was somewhat too short. So now I've got almost 30% of my alpha saying, I want more time. So guess what I did? I extended it in the spring. And those 71%, I may move a few of them to a little too long, but they're still probably going to be engaged. Okay, so if you want to see the alpha's actual feedback, you can scan that QR code that takes you to a Google sheet where you can see their actual written feedback. Student feedback from fall 23, 90% said, I feel better prepared to interview, to network, to sell my skills. Okay, QR code to their actual qualitative data. 36% when asked rate the overall effectiveness said it was extremely effective. 46% said very effective. 18% said effective. I didn't have any negative comments. That never happens with students. Okay? And I got the next question. I got two negatives. Effectiveness of the booth presentation portion of the event. 46, extremely. 27, very. 18, it was effective. 22, it was somewhat effective. I could have picked those two kids out before the event started. I could have told you who they would have been before it started. So I wasn't too butthurt about that one. Effectiveness of the lunch portion of the event. This was my fault, and I'll tell you why. 27% said extremely effective. 36% said very. 9% said it was effective. And 27% said somewhat effective. I dropped the ball here. Guess what I forgot to teach them? How to eat in front of people. Guess who I'm hiring next semester? Perfectly polished to come down and teach them table manners and etiquette. Okay? So that was my fault. That wasn't their fault. That's the purpose of data, right? Here's the feedback from my spring students. Okay? 50% when asked overall effectiveness, extremely effective. 38 very, 6 effective, 6% somewhat. Okay? So we're getting into a little bit of the negative here. But overall, still positive. 100% of the people, even the people who had some negative comments about the components of the event, even those students said, 100% of the students in the spring said, I'm better prepared to network, advocate, and sell my skill set. Yes, go ahead.
So is this a whole new group of students?
Yes. So I'm on the block. So I do the two events a year, one in the fall and one in the spring.
Do you have two new sets of representing students?
Yes, I get it. Well, so the students who are spring of 24, in the fall of 23, they were second semester students. You follow me? So I don't do it. So real quick, the way I schedule my students is I don't care what semester you're in. If you're a senior second semester or you're a sophomore second semester, if it's your first semester, you go in a first semester class. That's how I can guarantee you get the most important data, like U Science, like LinkedIn. Because I used to rotate my classes, but then if a student came in the semester after I gave my best content, I felt bad for them. They're not getting the good assignments. So I set it to where I don't care when you come in. First year students always get what I consider the most important assignments, and then you move forward from there. So does that answer your question? Okay. So, yes. Only if they're third semester. And so that's a hole that I've identified. But I can't offer this. I did the math. If I were to do this for my first semester students, it would be about a $15,000 event. So I needed to have a smaller group of students because it's $38 a plate. I mean, and I wouldn't, our conference center in Valdosta, we're building a new one, but the one we have now is not massive. And I have to compete with sending events like Chamber and Rotary, who already have those rooms set up. And I will say strategically, I did partner or did plan my event the same day as Rotary because Rainwater Conference Center is giving me the space. And if they're going to be cooking meals, I didn't want them to have to pay to staff the kitchen fully on a separate day. So I said, when do you have another event? And they said, we have another event on Wednesday. I said, well, let me have the event the same day. That way your kitchen staff's already here. And so I'm trying to save them money. So just be good to your partners. Yes, ma'am. So this was not a hiring event, but to answer your question, two. This was never designed to be a hiring event. This is just designed to teach them the skill sets. So this is the reverse career fair. So we know the difference between a career fair is career awareness, a job fair is a hiring event. If we don't know the difference, that's the difference semantically, it's not a job fair unless employers are making hires the day of. If it's not that, it's actually a career fair. So that's why I call it the reverse career fair. It's just about exposure, learning, getting access to it. But I did have two students. CJB hired one of them, one of our ag students. He wants to be an ag researcher. He literally brought in a microscope and like nematodes and all these like cool science things. He works for a soil sample company. Blew him away. So that was the data. Here's some of my favorite quotes from the qualitative portion of students. What was your least favorite part of the event? Looking at the results. Students will always tell you honestly, looking at the results. And what she was trying to ask, what she said, I just didn't like seeing where I didn't do well. And I said, that's the best part. That's how you get better. That's how you learn. Seeing, and the good part is she didn't know who it came from. She was like, well, who said this? And I was like, I don't know. Think about it. That's what we have to do. We don't get a job we interview for. Who did I make mad? What answer did I say? You don't know. You have to go back and replay it, that teaching them real world skills. Maybe eating, and this is it. This is what showed it to me, the data. Maybe the eating portion, because I don't know how to properly eat in front of people. That's my fault, not theirs. Preparing for the event, very stressful, okay? So that was my favorite quotes about that. And then the other one is, what is your favorite part? This is the cool part. What is your favorite part of the event? This young lady, Ella, won both events for Alpha Bingo, so she left with $200 in her pocket. What was your favorite part of the event? Showcasing my skills. The students want to sell their skills, they just don't know how. They don't know how. Two, what was your favorite part of the event? Being able to be a salesman for myself. Now, he's not a public speaker, you can tell, but you know what he meant. Being able to sell my skills, to be my own salesman, not have to worry about somebody else doing it for me. I know I can advocate for myself. And the last one was meeting new people, here it is, that can give me valuable advice. Teaching them how to not just sell, but listen to the alphas who come through the program. So really good content. If you didn't want to do the meal portion, it could be a completely free event. If you wanted to have it on your school's site, it could be a completely free event. So if you're saying, Jason, I don't have money, it can be free. And I will say this, I learned this from my last director and my current director. You can't use Perkins funds to buy food, but you can use Perkins funds as an instructional assignment for your culinary program to prepare food that you eat. So maybe you can use your Perkins funds to have your culinary to buy food. You just got to do it through your culinary program. Yes, sir. Yes. Well, I did, and that was part of the event when they met with me. Just the casual networking part. In the fall, this was kind of a beta, and so I told them very, very clear. I said, "Look, if you participate, you will get a 100, because I don't know what I don't know, and I wanted to do it completely stripped of intervention, because my tendency is to overteach them. Like, I want them to learn, have to process through it, and if I'm going to start instructing them and giving them examples, because if I give the students one example of what their booth should look like, I get 21 examples of the thing I gave them. And so I said, look, I'm going to purposefully be ambiguous, and I'm not going to punish you for that. I want to see what you do, and then I based the spring off of their feedback. I wanted to see what that was. So I did a little bit in the first. I did more in second, because some of the feedback was, did you feel that Mr. Venna supported you in this? Fall said, it could be better. Now, and I knew that was going to happen because I purposely didn't support them. I wanted to see what they would do on their own, but I did increase more instructional support for the event in the spring. Great question.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I know a lot of this is based around work-based learning.
Yes.
I'm going part-time work-based, still have a pathway.
Okay.
So, yes, I heard you say something about it. Yes, healthcare does it. It's
yeah, 100%.
But I do the logistics.
Okay.
It covers all careers.
100%.
So doing that through the logistics with the third level students, that will still be effective.
100%. So, again, this could be leveraged in any environment. If you are a business teacher and you're teaching, let's say you're teaching computer science. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if you're teaching computer science, hopefully you have some industry in your area that's teaching computer science. If not, we've got some sacred cows. We need to have a good barbecue. Quit teaching that pathway if you don't have industry who's going to have those, who's going to begin. So I would say yes. Invite the industry from the instructional area to be the alphas, and then have your seniors, your third levels, produce the career fair. So it could be leveraged in any single instructional pathway or content area. Now, work-based learning is different because I've got every area. You know, Lowndes High School has, 52 pathways? 49 pathways? We killed two sacred cows. We're eating well this semester. So here are some key takeaways. Listen to industry. This came, the pain point came from industry saying, Jason, the students are skilled, I know it, but they crap the bed in the interview. It's so hard to know what you're getting because they can't sell their skills. Listen to industry. Then include industry in your curriculum and the planning of events and assessments. Not just will you show up, but will you show up, will you help me assess? And you know what I had after the first event? Was Dexter Sharper and Amanda Johnson both said, I didn't think they took the alpha game seriously. can we come do some events? I said, next fall we'll do it, 100%. So now they're going to start coming in and teaching the students. It's always better for them to hear from industry and not from us. Okay? So include industry. This made the event more authentic for students because the alphas were actually there. Challenge your students beyond the content. Challenge them beyond the content of your classroom and actually implement opportunities for them to push themselves, to learn how to advocate and sell their skills. Look, I am never, ever, ever, ever the smartest person in any room I walk into. A lot of you who know me will attest to that. I'm not the smartest person in the room. Whatever modicum of success I've had has been because I can talk to people and I can sell my skills. You may have the kid who's not the smartest kid in the room, but you teach him how to sell his skills, and he's going to get a job. She's going to get a job. These kids, and it's just, it's a glaring hole in our curriculum in Georgia, across the country. Like, I presented this, it was just accepted, the same presentation for Vision in San Antonio. Not only did I get an acceptance letter, they actually sent me a thing and said, this is awesome. Like this is something that everyone has said doesn't exist in their curriculum. So maybe we should look at adjusting our curriculum. Are there any DOE folks in here? Maybe not. Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's adjust it. Let's adjust it. So, we need to have self-advocating standards in all CT programs. Maybe that's a way to drive work-based learning enrollment for us. So, lastly is rethink. Rethink the efficacy of what it is you're doing. Are career fairs bad? No. Maybe you have the best career fair in the world. Maybe this is not going to work for you. The people I talked to said, we struggle getting the kids to engage with employers at the career fair. And so we said, let's just flip the roles. So maybe it's not the career fair, maybe it's another practice. Rethink what you're doing in your programs to make sure that there's not a better fit for your students and for your program. Because I would probably say this is less work for me than a traditional career fair would have been. Okay? And it was a better outcome. So having said that, questions. We've got, what's my time? We got 5 minutes, 6 minutes?
Three.
Oh, I'm still early. That's rare. Yes. All right. Any questions? Now, I will say this. I'm recording the audio. I'll post that to that screen. If you're interested in that, you can go back and get that. My information is on LinkedIn. I want to be available to help you, so reach out to me if you have any questions. Yes, ma'am.
Did you preview their booth?
Yes. Before? Now, not as well as I should have. I didn't do a good enough job. I was more worried about recruiting alphas, but the feedback I got from some of the students and some administration was we want more frequent check-ins to make sure someone doesn't just not do the work.
Right.
Yes, so great question. The question was, did I have steady check-ins with them? Not as much as I should have. I was grading their assignments, but I wasn't seeing how they were putting it together. Great question. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What was the time frame?
Time frame, at the first event was from 10:30 to 1:15, and then the second event, because of the alpha feedback, was from 10:30 to 1:30. It was 2.5 hours of the networking portion, an hour of the lunch portion, and then it was 15 or 20 minutes to go back in and finish the alpha bingo game if you needed it. Yeah, if you reach out, I'll send you the schedule and everything. Just reach out, I'll give it all to you. Yes, ma'am.
Did you involve other departments in your school, or did you just try to do it all?
Well, I did it all by myself because work-based learning is the capstone to all these instructional areas, and plus it was during the school day, so I didn't think that those people could actually leave. I did include all of our leadership. They were there, but it wasn't feasible.
You're talking about other CTA class, like business, when you're doing the sending out for...
No, I didn't. Ag said they want to be a part of it. I did have one ag teacher come over on her planning to look at what her students did because it helped with their SAE project. So you could leverage this as a CTSO event if you wanted to. It's a pretty unique idea, but I didn't open it up to a lot of people because the cost of the dinner portion would escalate really quickly. So if I open up to business and they brought 50 students at $38 or $40 a plate basically, that's a lot of money. Yeah. I am really a micromanager when it comes to branding. I do all my own graphic stuff. But you could turn it over to them and have them do the branding, the invitations, the mail mergers, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you all for your time. I appreciate it.